the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Hello again and welcome to the broadcast. President Biden getting a first-hand look today at Ida's aftermath in New York and New Jersey. He is touring the damage left behind by last week's storm.
There's not enough hours in a day to get this done.
That Queens man says it looks like a bomb went off in his neighborhood. Relentless rain from Ida took 50 lives and many victims trapped in flooded basements. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez spoke with one survivor.
Did you think you were going to make it out of there?
When the water was still up under my chest, I did. When it started to go above my head, I thought I was going to die.
13 deaths reported in New York City, 27 in New Jersey. Governor Phil Murphy.
This is going to be a long journey, but we're going to stay with them every step of the way. It's homes, it's small businesses, it's infrastructure, in some cases schools, and sadly, 27 losses of life.
Reporter Bradley Blackburn has more from hard-hit Manville, New Jersey.
This town was underwater 2 days after Ida hit, and house after house has piles of debris, entire lives turned out to the curb.
Further south, over 400,000 homes still in the dark in Louisiana 9 days after the storm. The Taliban is now in complete control of all of Afghanistan. Correspondent Charlie Daggett.
Taliban fighters raised their flag in the Panjshir Valley today, a declaration of victory over the last region to fall under Taliban control.
The New York Times, meanwhile, is being slammed today for writing a puff piece praising the president's exit strategy. The Times calls our departure a success. Former Wisconsin Congressman Sean Duffy calls it anything but that.
As we go into this week of 9/11, looking back, to think that after 20 years in the blood and the treasure that was lost, that we now have turned over Afghanistan to the Taliban, they have more land, more power, more strength today than they did 20 years ago on September 10th. I mean, it's outrageous.
The Taliban today painted its flag on the front of our former embassy in Kabul. An American family's been rescued from Afghanistan in a daring mission that was facilitated by Oklahoma Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen. That family was trapped in the capital city during the Taliban takeover. Griff Jenkins of Fox News.
A mother named Miriam and her 3 kids, saved by a private team who got them, drove them overland to the border and got them into another country. Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen tweeting, "It was our team of patriots who worked around the clock for 2 weeks to get them out."
The congressman defended the secret mission, stating that he was doing a job the president would not. About 100 Americans remain trapped in Afghanistan. Secretary of State Tony Blinken says the Taliban has assured him that those who want out will be allowed to get out.
They said that they will let people with travel documents freely depart. We will hold them to that.
But Texas Congressman Michael McCaul says several chartered planes filled with U.S. citizens and Afghan allies are stranded in that country.
We have 6 airplanes with American citizens on them as I speak, also with these interpreters, and the Taliban is holding them hostage for demands.
The U.S. is working with Qatar to arrange for the safe passage of Americans out of Afghanistan. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signs the election integrity law today. It rolls back pandemic-related voting accommodations and establishes new rules for mail-in voting. Governor Abbott says the measure makes it easy to vote and hard to cheat. Democrats tried to hold it up by fleeing Austin for Washington, D.C. over the summer. The Biden administration is challenging the new fetal heartbeat law in Texas. That pro-life measure makes abortions illegal after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Texas State Senator Brian Hughes.
This bill says we're going to protect life. And also, importantly, we're going to come alongside the mother. We can protect that human life and love and support the mother in the process.
Liz Graham with Texas Right to Life cannot understand why anyone would oppose the fetal heartbeat law.
150 babies a day day are being saved by the new Texas Heartbeat Act. That is a giant victory, both for Texas and for the country.
Still, the Biden administration seeking to circumvent the law. Attorney General Merrick Garland vows to bypass it by employing the federal Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, or FACE Act. Mexican authorities have broken up a fourth caravan of illegal immigrants headed to our border. This is the fourth in just 2 weeks. Hundreds of migrants headed from Central America to South Texas. Former Border Patrol Chief Ron Vitello.
We are in completely unprecedented territory. July, August, September traditionally had been lower months of activity. And so we're seeing an unprecedented crush of humanity coming to this border right now.
Vitello says migrant shelters are overwhelmed at the U.S.-Mexico border, and many of those in custody are infected with COVID. America's largest remaining Confederate statue is coming down tomorrow in Richmond, Virginia. The 21-foot-tall bronze monument of Civil War General Robert E. Lee has stood in the Virginia Capitol for 130 years. Brian Shook has our report.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam called the move an important step in showing who the Commonwealth is and what they value. Northam ordered that the statue be removed in June of last year, but the process was delayed by a legal battle, which wrapped up last week. Once the statue is removed, it will head to a state-owned facility until officials decide what to do with it. I'm Brian Shook.
All right, Brian, thank you for that. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday, Hochul signs the HERO Act. Masks a must in Pennsylvania schools, and Cooperstown getting ready for the captain. But first, let's check weather with Kevin Williams.
Well, good afternoon. With a terrific Tuesday underway weather-wise, we've got a little wetness coming for your Wednesday with a front on the way. Forecast details are coming up in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, we will look for you then. In the meantime, let's check the stories making news where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, school's been in session for just a couple of weeks now, and already students in the Tunkhannock Area School District in northwestern or northeastern Pennsylvania are moving back to virtual learning. That's Tunkhannock Central. COVID outbreak, the reason why. There are 21 confirmed cases and 27 suspected cases. That district is having kids work remotely to allow time to complete contact tracing. This means all after-school activities, athletics, and events are postponed until further notice in Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania. Well, the new school year started today in New York with a severe bus driver shortage. Sean McCabe runs a bus company in Buffalo.
The COVID pandemic has taken a significant toll on our workforce, so it's been like a year like no other.
Buffalo School Board member Larry Scott says getting kids to school on time will not be a problem, but there will be delays getting them home in the afternoon.
So there will certainly be some struggles, and kids maybe getting home later than expected. And I just urge parents to expect a little bit of inconvenience, because this is what we're dealing with right now.
Buffalo is short about 150 drivers to start the new school year. Nationwide, the bus driver shortage is the worst it's been in more than 30 years. And with those familiar yellow buses out in full force again, AAA is reminding motorists you need to brush up on your back-to-school driving.
First, check your surroundings before hitting the gas. Second, slow down. Third, don't drive distracted. Fourth, always stop for a school bus when the lights are flashing. And fifth, teach your children the rules of traffic safety. Specifically, teach them to make eye contact with the drivers as they're crossing the road.
Some good advice there as the little ones head back to the classroom. The fight over face masks continues in Pennsylvania. Governor Wolf's order to cover up in school took effect today. Pennsylvania Representative Jesse Topper has joined a lawsuit seeking to overturn that mandate.
The governor said, I will not get involved in this. You will make those decisions. And then after school started, the change has created a great deal of chaos.
Topper says the state lacks the legal authority to mandate face masks in the classroom. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson told us today that the governor was stripped of his pandemic powers last May.
The point of that referendum is restoring checks and balances. The science is not there to dictate this return to a mask mandate. I'm thankful that the legislature is pursuing something within the judicial branch to rein back this dictatorial powers that this governor continues to wield as almost as a weapon on the citizens of Pennsylvania.
The governor insists he has the authority to make masks mandatory in school. Governor Wolf says the only way to keep kids in the classroom and COVID out is through universal mask mandates. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has signed legislation designed to protect the state's workforce.
The New York HERO Act, which has been talked about for a long time, but we're finally going to make it become a reality right now.
The HERO Act prevents employers from retaliating against workers who demand COVID safety protocols in the workplace.
This pandemic, particularly the Delta variant, is continuing to rage. It's creating unsafe conditions in some workplaces. And if we want to get people back to work and get our kids back in schools, we need to have standards that not just are on law, but are actually enforced. And that's the action I'm going to take here today.
Western New York Attorney Barry Covert applauds the legislation.
This is an important step, and I congratulate the governor making this one of her first acts. This is vitally important.
The HERO Act was inked into law on Labor Day. One measure boosts workplace safety, while another helps New Yorkers hang on to more of their paychecks by fighting what's known as wage theft. $370 million will be spent over the next decade bringing high-speed internet to homes and businesses throughout Pennsylvania. That project is intended to reach an estimated 327,000 residents in more than 65 of Pennsylvania's 67 counties. 14% of Pennsylvania households do not have broadband access. The Great New York State Fair is in the books for another year. Its 18-day run ended yesterday, Labor Day. Fair Director Troy Wafner.
I think they went well operationally. It was smooth. You know, we certainly had every challenge you could hope for in life from COVID on down. But yeah, I think for the most part, from an operations point of view, they went well.
The fair this year was extended by 5 days. Still, attendance was down sharply from previous years. Wafner expects the fair to return to its normal 13-day schedule next summer. Leaf peepers, take note. The week of October 17th through the 24th, that will be the best this autumn for fall foliage in most of Pennsylvania. Optimal leaf peeping in the northern tier will be the week of October 25th. Mark your calendar. And while the calendar has yet to officially hit autumn, a couple of popular Rochester, New York Christmas time events have already been canceled over COVID concerns. Family Life's Mark Webster.
So far, organizers have preemptively pulled the plug on a pair of November events. The Rochester Museum and Science Center's annual Holiday Bazaar Arts and Crafts Sale and Canandaigua's Christkindle Market at the Granger Homestead and Carriage Museum. In both cases, the big reason was concern about implementing the level of crowd restrictions necessary to comply with COVID safety requirements, along with vendors expressing concerns about participating. As of now, a third event, December's Rock Holiday Village in Rochester's Manhattan Square, is still a go. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
All right, Mark, thank you for that. Cooperstown, New York, all abuzz for tomorrow's Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony. New York Yankees legend Derek Jeter will finally get his ticket punched into baseball immortality.
Derek Jeter ends his final game with a walk-off single.
Jeter and three others were supposed to be inducted last year, but the pandemic forced a postponement. Tomorrow's ceremony in Cooperstown set for 1 p.m. As they say, it'll be standing room only. That ceremony will be broadcast live on the MLB Network. More sports next. We call it the two-minute drill. Here's Sonny Delfia.
Yellow star in the Bronx in the tale of two streaks as the Toronto Blue Jays combine to hit three home runs, including this from Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
High fly ball, right field, drifting back, Judge, track, wall, see ya. Back-to-back home runs by the Blue Jays, and it's 2-0.
That's his 40th on the year in the Jays' 8-0 win against the Yankees. Vlad Jr. and his Hall of Fame father joined Cecil and Prince Fielder as the second father-son duo to hit 40 homers. Toronto has won five straight to climb within three games of the American League wildcard. The Yankees have now lost three in a row, but remain on top of the wildcard race. In Milwaukee, Bryce Harper started it with a bang.
That ball's hit well. Out to center field. Bradley going back, and
It is gone!
That two-run homer would be the first of six homers on the day for Philadelphia in their 12-0 win against the Brewers. The Phillies have won for the eighth time in 10 games to climb within a game and a half of Atlanta for first place in the National League East in Washington.
Stevenson takes off, ground ball up the middle. The Mets can't pick it. The run comes in. Josh Bell scores, and the Nats have walked it off in the bottom of the ninth.
The Nationals walk off the Mets 4-3. The Mets fall four games back. Elsewhere, the Pirates rally by the Tigers 6-3. Cleveland falls to Minnesota 5-2. At the U.S. Open, top seed Novak Djokovic overcame a rough start to take on American Jenson Brooksby in four sets. Number 22 seed Rally Opelka was eliminated in a four-set loss, leaving no Americans left in the tournament. On the women's side, Shelby Rogers was upset in a straight-set loss. She was the final American woman left in the field, and after Sloane Stephens said she received racist emails and death threats, Shelby said she expects the same.
Appreciate the the spotlight in those moments, but then, you know, you have today and I'm going to have 9 million death threats and whatnot. So it's very much polarizing, one extreme to the other very quickly.
Wow. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Wow, indeed. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, rescue mission in Afghanistan, teaching 9/11. And are we safer 20 years after 9/11?
There's a pandemic that's lasted longer than COVID and has been more deadly. Only the church has the answer. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. What if I told you that there's a pandemic that's been around longer than COVID? It's been more deadly. It's more difficult to treat. There's no vaccine for it. Masks are ineffective in stopping it. It might actually make it worse. I'm talking about America's pandemic of despair. Shows up most obviously in the mounting number of suicides and suicide attempts. According to the Centers for Disease Control, suicide rates are higher today than at any other time since the Great Depression. However, it's impossible to grasp just what that data point really means unless you take into account just how different life is today. You see, today we have emergency rooms. We have a better understanding of poison and poison control, better technologies, emergency medications like Narcan. All of these incredible life-saving medical interventions and more mean that a large percentage of patients who attempt suicide survive. On the other hand, if you adjust for these medical advances and the differences they make, we're likely living through the worst suicide crisis in our nation's history. This is a crisis that's at root fueled by despair. Hopelessness afflicts individuals and entire communities. It's far deeper than economic hardship or access to firearms and opioids. What we have created, to borrow words from my friend Dr. Matthew Sleeth, is an unlivable society. Matthew Sleeth's latest book is the most direct, helpful, and clarifying book for Christians on this very difficult topic of suicide. It's called Hope Always, How to Be a Force for Life in a Culture of Suicide. In the book, he combines a firsthand knowledge of this suicide crisis from his time as an emergency room physician with statistical insights, a biblical overview of the topic, and an incredible amount of biblical wisdom. His conclusion is nothing less than a calling for the church. When it comes to addressing this culture-wide pandemic of suicide, if it's not the church stepping up, who will? Throughout the book, Slee threads an important needle. On one hand, he argues against a purely materialistic view of suicide. After all, he argues, humans are the only creatures that knowingly take their own lives. Thus, this terrible decision must have an irreducible spiritual component to it. And on the other hand, Slee warns Christians not to ignore the very real medical, chemical, and mental health factors that often drive people to self-harm. So, Sleeth makes very clear to us why Christianity has proved to be the most powerful and effective response to those whispering demons constantly calling us into darkness. Near the beginning of Hope Always, Sleeth tells an especially compelling story about two patients from his time as an emergency room physician. The first was an able-bodied young man, full of promise, but who tragically chose to shoot himself in the temple. The other, a joyful, wheelchair-bound, slightly older man, with a permanent neurological injury who had been admitted for a minor infection. A nurse asked Dr. Sleeth if he recognized the patient. "It's the same man you saw last spring," she said, "who shot himself." Turns out these two patients were the same person. As the young man's parents later told Matthew, their son had found a reason for living after surviving his suicide attempt. In their words, he got his faith back. and that faith had given him fresh hope. And that kind of powerful storytelling born in his wealth of experience that typifies Matthew Sleeth's writing style in Hope Always. Come to Breakpoint.org and we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Hope Always. And be sure to check out a powerful interview with Dr. Matthew Sleeth on Shane Morris's Upstream podcast, as well as his incredible talk at the 2021 Wilberforce Weekend. Come to Breakpoint.org and we'll link you to both. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
It is 19 past the hour. Let's talk weather next. Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Plenty of sunshine, delightful. High temperature 70s to near 80. Nice this evening, but clouds gather. It turns more humid. A couple of showers and thunder showers will reach areas near Lake Erie late this evening and spread east. Low temperatures tonight ranging generally in the upper 50s to the upper 60s. Tomorrow, a couple showers and thunder showers in the area. High temperatures to the 70s. And a bit cooler Thursday, sun and clouds, spot shower, and high temperatures upper 60s to the middle 70s.
All right, Kevin Williams on duty at the Weather Center. Thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. It is great to have you with us today. A busy Tuesday afternoon, the 8th day of September. Health officials are bracing for a fall surge of COVID cases as folks head back to work and kids get back to school. NBC's Aaron McLaughlin.
Daily COVID infections now more than four times higher than they were this time last year. Daily deaths nearly twice as high. And health officials worry the worst is yet to come.
Dr. Mark Williams at the University of Arkansas.
I think we can just right now hope for the best, hope people are using what I call good COVID common sense.
Complicating COVID concerns is the emergence of this new Mu variant, spelled M-U, pronounced Mu. It showed up in 49 states and 39 countries. The Mu variant was first detected in Colombia back in January. It is believed to be more contagious than even the Delta variant. A daring rescue mission has saved the life of an American mother and her three children from the Taliban in Afghanistan. Oklahoma Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen was instrumental in overseeing the secret mission. The four Americans made it out on foot over the weekend. Conservative columnist Mark Thiessen.
Joe Biden's role in this rescue, in this situation, was leaving Miriam and her family behind in Afghanistan. He promised not to do that. So, you know, this is not going to go away because there are still Americans trapped in Afghanistan because of Joe Biden. There are still thousands and thousands of Afghan allies who risked their lives for our soldiers who have been abandoned behind enemy lines by the Biden administration. Until they're all back, the story isn't going away.
Secretary of State Tony Blinken says the U.S. is working with the Taliban to get chartered flights full of Americans out of Afghanistan. NBC's Raf Sanchez.
This is what many were concerned about, that when U.S. troops left Afghanistan, the American citizens left behind would effectively be at the mercy of the Taliban as to whether they can leave the country.
According to the State Department, about 100 Americans remain in Afghanistan. Pennsylvania Republican Glenn Thompson says he'd like to see congressional hearings into our bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan, but
I'm not sure they're necessary for the American people to understand just exactly what we just experienced and what just happened to America under the leadership of Joe Biden.
The congressman tells Family Life.
Leaving Americans behind, leaving our allies behind, turning over unthinkable amounts of equipment and resources to the Taliban.
Yeah.
It's hard to grasp.
Thompson says one of the interpreters that his team was working with in Afghanistan was sadly murdered over the weekend by the Taliban. The 20th anniversary of 9/11 is Saturday, and with the recent fall of Afghanistan, many are wondering, are we less safe today than we were prior to 9/11? South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
The chance of another 9/11 just went through the roof. The number of ISIS fighters have doubled. We've turned our back on our allies, who's going to help us in the future. And we've set the conditions for another 9/11. I've never been more worried about an attack on our homeland than I am right now.
Counterterrorism expert John Miller.
There is a heightened threat, clearly, because of this. The risk is that Al-Qaeda or ISIS will use either Taliban-controlled spaces or ungoverned spaces to develop sanctuary again, which was what brought us 9/11. But again, we're much better at our game than we were on September 10th, 2001.
Miller heads up the counterterrorism division for the NYPD. President Biden is in New York and New Jersey today assessing the damage from Hurricane Ida.
Seeing the entire house underwater, seeing everything is just heartbreaking.
The storm and its aftermath killed nearly 70 people since roaring ashore along the Gulf Coast of Louisiana 9 days ago. A judge in Ohio has put the kibosh on an unproven COVID-19 medical treatment.
The judge says a hospital in Butler County does not have a duty to use the drug ivermectin, which is typically prescribed to treat parasites in livestock. A woman in Ohio had sued for the right to use the drug on her husband, who is on a ventilator in the hospital. The CDC, FDA, American Medical Association, and Merck, who makes the drug, all say that ivermectin is not a valid treatment for COVID-19. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you for that. America's college campuses could use a few good men.
Women now account for 59.5% of all college students, an all-time high. The Wall Street Journal reports this trend has been going on for 40 years, and at this rate, two women will earn a college degree for every man in just a few years.
Correspondent Vicki Barker, we're coming up on 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Mike Masters from Buffalo. He runs a ministry aimed at high school athletes and coaches, where the ball's the bait for the gospel message.
Cross-training athletics started in 2005, but we were cross-training football. And we've made our mission, our vision statement a lot shorter. Just want to change one heart at a time. That's the bottom line. We work with high school athletes and coaches, teachers and administrators in high schools to give them truths that will help them to succeed. Mm-hmm. The bottom line.
You know, the past 18 months or so have been anything but typical, not just for athletes and coaches, but schools in general with this pandemic. It's really changed the game for a lot of folks. And if you thought things were going to be different this school year, unfortunately, they're not. We just can't shake this thing. How has it impacted what you do, Mike, and kind of framed the message, I guess, that you're trying to share?
Our message is to develop the complete person spiritually, mentally, socially, and physically. And understanding that the foundation of that complete person is that love always trust, which is the spirit of the person. And right now, if anything, we need to trust something, because it seems like, you know, the kids, I know kids are like, they're not trusting right now because mm-hmm. they hear one thing and another thing happens and everything keeps flipping on them. The kids are looking for security. So we have this powerful message to share with kids that, you know, love will always protect you. And when you get that protection, that there is no fear in love. We need to keep battling right now. We need to fight the good fight. We need to finish the race. We need to keep the faith. And that's the message we're giving kids. They need to hear that. Coaches need to hear that. Teachers need to hear that.
Now, you go into the public schools, and for the most part, you're welcomed, I would imagine.
Yes. When you're giving a message of love and connection and patience and kindness, well, who doesn't need that right now?
What's the biggest difference you're noticing with not just the athletes, but just kids in general? In schools today.
We are built for relationship. I just see a tremendous hunger to be with people. You know, fist bump, handshake, whatever's comfortable for you. You know, remove your mask, keep your mask up, whatever it is. But go to someone right now and tell them, I'm so thankful to see you. And just try to connect with them. We're built for that. And there's a hunger and a desire for that. Go to a teammate. Look them in the eye, because eye contact is the number one thing in showing respect. Number two, give them physical contact, because we're made for that. And number three, we call it inspirational contact. Say something that will encourage that athlete on your team. Say something to them. You know, you bring hope. I love the way you work out hard. Something that will encourage them, because the word encouragement has the word courage in it.
Yeah.
And to encourage others, especially now.
Kind of looking how we come out of this, and people say, well, this is the new normal. I hope and pray to God this is not the new normal, because I want the way it was before, that we can get back to the way it was. But what's the end game here, Mike? Are kids going to come out of this? Are athletes going to come out of this better people because of having gone through it?
I believe they will, for the fact that they're searching. They're searching for answers. They're searching for truth. I do believe the scriptures that says trials produce a perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character brings hope. And hope never disappoints.
What could be more noble than winning young souls for Christ, especially today? You know, and I coach, but hey, that's not why I coach, to win games. The ball's the bait for the gospel message. You know that. And we're trying to reach these kids. And when a kid, young kid especially, they find something that's true, and they latch on, that's all we can do is present them the truth, as you do.
And Bill, I know the work you're doing and how much you love your athletes down there. And you know, you can see it. I've seen you coach. And you're the type of coach we're trying to get all our coaches to coach the way you do.
Well, we need more people, men and women of faith, to step forward and to fill those roles. I think, you know, outside of parents, I think coaches probably have the biggest impact on a young person's life. And I'm sure you would probably agree with that.
And if not, that's what Billy Graham said. Yeah. Billy Graham said a coach has more influence in one season than most people have in a lifetime. So if the man Billy Graham says it, I think you could probably take that to the bank.
That's Mike Masters from Buffalo, this week's hometown hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime. Find it at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Friendly high pressure delivering the nice weather today. We'll give ground tonight and tomorrow to an approaching front. That cold front will generate a couple of showers and thunder showers as it approaches, and it will then bring us a fresh batch of cool air in its wake. The forecast details for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine, delightful, high temperatures 70s to near 80. Nice this evening, but clouds gather, it turns more humid. A couple of showers and thunder showers will reach areas near Lake Erie late this evening and spread east to near the I-81 corridor by tomorrow morning. Low temperatures tonight ranging generally in the upper 50s to the upper 60s. Tomorrow, couple showers and thunder showers in the area. High temperatures in the 70s. And a bit cooler Thursday. Sun and clouds. Spot shower and high temperatures upper 60s to the middle 70s.
All right, Kevin. Great work as always at the Weather Center. Finally at noon, teaching 9/11. There's an effort afoot to educate children as the 20th anniversary approaches.
President of the 9/11 Memorial Museum, Alice Greenwald, says there's no specific curriculum nationwide about teaching 9/11 in schools. She encourages teachers to head to 911memorial.org for lessons, plans, and a webinar which features first-person accounts.
First responders, survivors, and evacuees as individuals who were rescued, those kinds of stories. Those stories resonate because they're human stories.
The Memorial Museum is launching a PSA nationally to underscore the importance of teaching 9/11 in schools and a Never Forget Fund to support its educational services. Scott Pringle, New York.
All right, Scott, thank you for that. And that's the world we live in. Tuesday, the 7th of September. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.